Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is on a Thursday. For many of you, it's like a Friday. Many people having off tomorrow. It's a national holiday. If tomorrow was your payday, you might have been surprised when you looked in your checking account this morning and saw your check already there. Like, all right, let's go. Yesterday, we spoke with Assemblyman Pat Burke, and today in studio, and I always appreciate the in-studio supervisor, Gary Dixon. Supervisor, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
I hope people hear this and say, hey, we can go to the, I love having people in studio. I think it's a much better conversation face-to-face. So Pat Burke made the announcement on the steps of West Seneca Town Hall. What's your response to some of the claims that he made in that announcement and on this show yesterday?
Well, I mean, so, you know, yesterday morning, I'm out in town dealing with our bear sighting. And, you know, I get a text from town hall saying there's something going on in, out front on the grass. And I'm like, you know, fine, you know, who, so what? And then they said, oh, you know, it's my opponent and some other people that they know. So I said, okay, you know, fine, I can sort of guess what it's about. But, you know, I mean, let me deal with the bear. You know, the town business does not stop. And so I came back and I did listen to on the Odyssey app. Put a plug for that. I listened to your interview.
Thank you.
And I thought this is just too rich. We can't let this go by.
So he talks about transparency and accountability. And I mean, as you heard in the interview, all the examples that you could use on the Democrat side, he uses an example from West Seneca. So for the listeners who might not be familiar with that example, exactly what happened on the town council that the assemblyman's referring to?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm very happy that after 13 years in public service, he finally, you know, seized an advantage to transparency. So, you know, I applaud him for that. And when I'm elected, I'll be happy to continue with that bill, should he actually submit it. But yeah, so we had an unexpected resignation from the town board by one of our councilmen. And then so we talked to the Erie County Board of Elections. We looked at town law. And by town law, the town board is supposed to appoint or has the right to appoint somebody to fill out the rest of the year. There's still going to be an election this November to fill out the rest of that councilman's term. But, I mean, the town board has the right or the even responsibility to fill it out. And we were actually getting heat from some of in the community, including one of our a frequent commenter at a town board meeting criticized us for taking so long, said, you know, we voted for a five-person board and we want a five-person board. What are you waiting for? So we did what we thought was a unusually open process compared to all the other processes that have been around lately. And we asked for people to send in resumes. We talked to people individually. We talked to people that we knew would be a good fit. In executive session, we interviewed two candidates. There were three, but one pulled out. And at the end of the day, we settled on Mark Priori, who is not unknown in town. I mean, he did run for the assembly against my opponent last time. And he won West Seneca by 7 points. So already he's a popular person, at least among the voters in West Seneca.
So before Pat Burke even commented on this, you were getting comments that you were taking too long. And the reason you were is because you were trying to have a more open process than, say, what happened in Tonawanda.
Well, and that's what's ironic is. So here we are. We are elected officials. We have been elected by our town to make decisions. And that's what we did. We followed town law. On the other hand, in Tonawanda, that announcement was made by the Democratic Party in Tonawanda first. So you have a group of people. Nobody knows who they are, pretty much. They're not elected. They selected the supervisor. And then later, the town board voted for it. But make no mistake, it was not the town board's decision. It was the party's decision, whereas in our case, it was definitely the town board's decision.
And like you said, I mean, you even went back and looked at the votes from when he was on the ballot in West Seneca, and you used that in your decision making. Like you said, well, the voters, they gave him approval one time already.
Absolutely. So he's already well known. He's already had that been just a West Seneca race, he would have won it.
Right.
You know, it wasn't. He didn't win the race, but. I think he's a good candidate. You know, as always, you know, we go with the ones that people who want to run. You know what? We talked to several people. I talked to several people who were maybe interested, or we approached a couple people who thought about it, and at the end of the day, decided not to. So, you can only choose people who come forward, and we did ask for. People from the Democratic Party. We had one Democrat submitted a resume, but he later pulled out. And I approached at least one Democrat to run or to be appointed. So, yeah, this was, of course, it's not a perfect system. And if my opponent can come up with some tweaks, like I said, I would be happy to follow up on it when I'm in office.
It's just so rich for him to bring this up now. He says nothing about Zellner, who is Zellner. I love in the ads, it says Jeremy Zellner, the endorsed Democrat. Yeah, who makes that decision? Jeremy Zellner. You've got Crystal Peoples. And you know, I have a lot of respect for Crystal Peoples. She's been a regular on my Sunday show. But, you know, it was a coincidence that she waited till after the primary so Jeremy Zellner could pick the replacement with no input from the community. I mean, it was Crystal Peoples was literally announcing that she's not going to run, and Jeremy Zellner had already put the press release for Leah Halton Pope. It's just so rich that now in an election against you, Pat Burke decides this is the one he's going to point out.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it happened with Tim Kennedy. It happened with when Crystal Peoples Stokes left. And as I mentioned, it happens with John Flynn. Now, sometimes those are appointments to the nomination of the Democratic Party. But when you're in a position like in Buffalo, where there are so many more Democrats and it always votes deep blue, In effect, the nomination to the Democratic line is, in effect, the appointment to that race. Now, this is in, for example, this is in the contrast is with Nick Langworthy, and I heard him bring that up yesterday. So Langworthy had a bona fide primary. Yes, he was, we can say, endorsed, or the party was behind him. But he had a bona fide primary. So before he ever took office, it was a hard-fought primary against Carl Paladino. So he did not, by any stretch of the imagination, waltz into that position in Congress without at least some of the voters being able to say, have an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you look at Zellner, he went into the special election. He gets that so he can run as the incumbent, you know, Langworthy. And as soon as Langworthy won the primary, I believe he already had plans in place to step down from the chair. Unlike, again, Jeremy Zellner, who's running for another term in the chair in September, regardless what happens in this primary. So obviously, Pat Burke does this. It puts a spotlight on the election, you and Pat Burke for the 142nd Assembly District. And Supervisor, as you said, I mean, you've got town things to deal with as well. It's not like you can just campaign for the district, but how is that campaign going?
I think it's going well. You know, of course, we'll find out in November, you know, what the public thinks. I am out going door to door frequently. I'm going to lots of events. I mean, literally almost every evening and every weekend is taken up with something. So I'm able to do, you know, we have excellent people working in the town. I'm able to do all my responsibilities in the town. You know, we'll have the budget ready by the the middle and end of September. So I, you know, I think for now we're able to do it all. You know, all. I wouldn't want to be, you know, running for years. But I think we can do it for 6 months. But I just want to get back to, you know, yes, the transparency. I absolutely support transparency. I think my first town board meeting, we had Paul Wolf from the New York Coalition for Open Government come and talk to us. You know, I think it's valuable. And I look forward, if he ever actually submits the bill, I look forward to seeing what his ideas are supporting it or tweaking it or whatever the case may be. I think we definitely need to do something that deals with these party nominations in one party districts, you know, because that definitely takes, for all practical purposes, it takes the decision out of the public's mind. And plus, so since he's all of a sudden on a transparency kick, I absolutely hope he'll join me in calling for term limits at the state level. And I think public hearings before any bill is passed, just like we have to do at the local level.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk transparency. I mean, Pat Burke's been in the Assembly long enough now. We could definitely use some more transparency in Albany. I mean, the amount of stuff that happens behind closed doors, this budget being one of them, the closed door sessions with Democrats going through this budget that took 2.5 months to pass over the deadline. It is interesting. I mean, it's not surprising because that's how politics is. It is interesting that now he's talking transparency when he can use you as the example because you're his opponent.
Yeah, and you know, the public can look on both of our Facebook pages. Mine's, you know, Gary Dixon for Assembly. He has a couple of them. And you can make up your own mind. Who do you think is actually taking this job seriously? And who is not? But, you know, talking about transparency and the budget, I mean, I did a post on this. I mean, and my question was perhaps rhetorical, but is there really democracy in New York State? I mean, for 2 months, they talked about a bill that they said would total $268 billion, which was still a very large increase over last year's. But all the discussion was, well, we're going to add $500 million here, we're going to add $1 billion here, and it's going to go up to $267, or maybe it's going to go up to $268. So then they pass all the budget bills, and then all of a sudden the Division of Budget for the state says, oh, you know what, it's not $268, it's actually $277. So why... I mean, why the sham of saying of haggling over $500 million or $1 billion or whatever when you can bet your bottom dollar that somebody in the Division of Budget knew that it was going to be way over $268, and it was only what, 3 or 4 days, maybe a week after the budgets were passed, that he said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, all the stuff you agreed to, that's going to be $277 billion, which is $23 billion." More than last year's budget. I mean, they have no self-control. They will spend our money any way they want to, and they really don't care. And, you know, it's really, it's the three person in a room like it used to be. You know, the vast majority of people in the Senate and Assembly have no idea what's going on. And they're presented a budget bill, and they say you've got 24 hours or less to vote on it. And it's chock full of all sorts of policy bills. That is not democracy.
No, now, Gary, you know, you're running for Pat Burke's seat. If you were to go to Albany, you know, what would be the first thing that you think you could get when it comes to, like, the spending? Because I just heard about the Tier 6 adjustments and everything. I mean, it does seem like eventually the state's going to run out of money. You know, I mean, eventually there will be no pot to pull from if we keep on increasing the budget by billions every year.
Well, and not only do they increase the budget, but then they pass, they send, unfunded mandates down to the localities. You know, even my colleague in Cheektowaga, who we don't necessarily see eye to eye politically on, even he commented that this Tier 6, since it's unfunded by the state, is going to cost every single municipality in local government, including the schools, is going to cost them money. I'm not against at all Tier 6. I support changes in Tier 6. But as the Association of Towns and the Association of Counties said, that money should be funded, the increased cost should be funded by the state.
You know, I said when Sean Ryan won mayor of Buffalo, I said I think there's going to be certain things he sees as mayor that might make him question things he did as senator. Do you think having that supervisor experience gives you a different look at some of the policies that some members of the assembly just will not have?
Absolutely. For one thing, you know, if you're in local government and even when you get into county government, you get away from this. But when you're in local government and you have town board meetings and you have people coming up to you in the grocery store and talking to you, you know, we have intimate contact, very close contact with our residents. And if they don't like something, they are not shy and they tell us that. If they like something, though, they're not shy and they'll tell us that. So we have a much more visceral understanding that every dollar that we spend comes out of somebody's pocket. So when someone comes to me and says, you know, oh the town can pay for this, there's no like, you know, pocket of money that's called the town money that does not come from the taxpayer. So when you're saying the town can pay for it, you're saying the taxpayers can pay for it, and that applies at the county, that applies at the state. This is not magic money. Every dollar that we spend comes out of somebody's pocket, and it is our responsibility to be as responsible as possible with spending public money, understanding that business is what makes this country great. The businesses that succeed, someone's ability to start up their own business and to be successful, that is what makes this country great, not how much money government can spend.
I've asked every Republican this. I've got to ask you this. You're on, you know, down ballot from Bruce Blakeman. What are your thoughts on the GOP candidate for governor, and have you had a chance to talk with him?
I did meet him the other day. He's a very impressive guy. You know, he's got that local level experience. He's the county executive of a very large county. It's right next to New York City. Like me, he won in a district or in a jurisdiction that is majority Democrat. So when I ran in West Seneca in 2019, it was almost 2-1 Democrat, and I won pretty handily. And then when I ran for re-election in 2023, I won by, I think, 18 points. So the public is very happy with what we're offering, which is basically good government. So I think Mr. Blakeman has the same experience. I think, I mean, compared to Kathy Hochul, I think he's you know, light years ahead. And then the people that he's running with, I mean, our attorney general candidate and our candidate for comptroller are unbelievable. I mean, our Joe Hernandez for comptroller, he came to this country as a refugee from Cuba with nothing, and as a young child, and now look, he's a successful Wall Street guy, and he wants to help out with his adopted state. And Sarita Kamath Reddy, the attorney general candidate, former federal prosecutor, former chief of staff of the DEA, very impressive woman, and I think she'd be a great AG.
Feels like, you know, when Pataki beat Cuomo, it's time we turn some things around and we could have that same kind of upset this November. Gary, while I still got you here, obviously the black bear. We all heard about the bear yesterday. Where was it located? And what do you say about the people who were like literally up on it taking cell phone videos?
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to boost your social media, put something about a bear. I mean, we got, I think, in 24 hours, 300,000 views. This is nature. You know, we have creeks throughout the town that are very, you know, completely undeveloped, obviously, and they link to Elma and to further on. And so these animals are looking for food. And this is a young animal. Probably 2 to 3 years old, 120 to 140 pounds, according to the DEC officer we talked to, and he's wandering around. He's looking for food, and the advice is, don't give him any food, don't get close to him, don't scare him. He is smarter about nature than we are. He will figure out if he doesn't find any food, he'll go back to where he came from. The worst thing you can do is to feed him, because then all of a sudden he's not leaving. And when that happens, then the DEC said that's when they might have to tranquilize him and remove him, which is not safe for the animal. So the best thing to do, take your bird feeders inside. Heaven forbid you're feeding deer, which is illegal. But if you are, stop it and make sure your garbage totes are secure. And eventually he'll figure out, well, there's no food around here. I'm going to go back to where I came from. And that appears to be what has happened. You know, these things move like 5 miles an hour. So they can go 50 miles in a day. So, I mean, he could be in Wyoming County by now.
Probably is. Hey, Gary, always great talking with you. And if you and your opponent want a place to debate, Hardline is the show for you.
I am always willing to debate as many times as people would like.
And we will be talking with Gary throughout the election. Gary, again, thank you so much. Supervisor Gary Dixon will be back after the news with Lucas Buckley.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Again, thank you to the West Seneca supervisor and GOP candidate for Assembly, Gary Dixon. Always great talking with Gary, and always great catching up off air, too. Always a great conversation. You know, sometimes you get people to come in, and by the way, I love when we have guests in studio. So that's great. But sometimes you'll have like guests come in and, you know, off the air and nothing like, hey, what's, you know, and it's just, or they bring their assistant in and they're talking to their assistant until the interview starts. And it's like, yeah, hey, you only want to talk when the mic's on. But always great talking with Gary Dixon. He'll talk. We talk on air, off air. And, again, really appreciate his time and appreciate Pat Burke coming on yesterday. And as we get closer to the election season, obviously right now a lot of focus on the primaries, especially for NY61 in the Senate district. But as we get closer to the November election, would love to have both of them in studio together for a episode of Hardline. Speaking of Hardline, well, speaking of politicians and Hardline and all that stuff, the Iran deal. I feel like we can't go without talking the Iran deal that bits and pieces have leaked out about. Now I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know anything about foreign policy, right? I know a little. You know, I read up. I read opinions and stuff like that. And again, I will always defer to David Bellavia. I mean, he knows the ins and outs of foreign policy and the Middle East and all of that. So I will always defer to David. But I have to say, I am underwhelmed by the deal that is being presented to end this Iran conflict. I want to start by saying I'm glad that the strait is open and that gas prices are going down. And yes, I am glad that is happening. But you just can't, you know, the way I look at it is you can't trust the Iranians, especially members of the leadership. Like, to me, that is just, it's setting up for failure. And my question is, if they are to break anything in this agreement, then what happens? Is it instant military action against Iran? Because if not, then how is it any different than any past administration? You know, my main complaint about past administrations in my lifetime is the line always moves. Hey, don't go over that line. And then the line moves and it keeps moving back. And in this agreement, we're talking about freeing up money. Now, I understand that's not American money. That's money that is already sitting there. But it concerns me. If Iran has this money, you know, who are they funding? Where's that money going to? That's my main fear. And I actually talked yesterday with a former Senator Jim Talent about this. And, you know, he had the pros and the cons of the deal. And I think that is the way to look at it. But very split reaction on, I mean, obviously the left is, you know, if Trump got the best deal in the world, the left would criticize it. But very split reaction on the right. And I would like to hear from you, the audience, 803-0930, star 930. What are your thoughts on this Iranian deal? This is Jack Kane. He's on Fox quite often talking about that deal and talking about Iran.
The nature of the regime has not changed. And we have got to be clear-eyed in dealing with these guys. What they say and what they do are two different things. They cannot be trusted. We have to enforce compliance.
That's the first thing. They can't be trusted. And to me, that's a big one. They can't be trusted. We've known that for decades now. And you know, the whole goal was to make sure they don't get nuclear weapons. Okay? The goal was not to get nuclear weapons. My problem with that, There's no problem. I mean, yes, they can't have nuclear weapons. My problem is they're going to get the money that's freed up. They're going to have access to funds, and that money is going to go to people who hate us, and that money could go to accelerating the process of, again, getting a nuclear weapon. And do we have surveillance? Are we going to watch Iran? If they even start ramping up production, bomb the hell out of them, which is what the president said a month ago was going to happen? Again, I am a supporter of the president, but I think one thing that I think isn't done often enough is one side criticizing their own side. And I'm going to say, as much as I do support the president, and I support making sure Iran doesn't have nukes, I have to say this deal is underwhelming. And to me, it does not make me feel confident that Iran is not going to continue to, A, fund groups who hate us and our allies, and two, it's not going to stop them from eventually getting a nuclear weapon. That is the way I look at this deal. Now, the president also said, when discussing this deal, he said this, and you know, I don't agree with this statement either. This is the president yesterday.
The press conference, you said you don't mind Iran having ballistic missiles. Can you elaborate on that? I want to make sure we understand your position.
No, I'm saying that if other countries have them, it's a little bit unfair for them not to have some. A ballistic missile is not the same thing as what we're talking about when we talk nuclear. But if Saudi Arabia and Qatar and they all have some, I would say, in relative proportion, I think it's okay. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I want Iran to be completely disarmed. You know, the point of the conflict was no nuclear weapons. Now, I realize we can't enact regime change. But the regime that's in place right now is just, in my opinion, just as bad as the last regime. And it is a miserable place for many people to live. But more importantly to us, because it's not our job to be the world police, does it make us safer, this deal? And does it put some stability in the Middle East? The way I'm looking at it, those are questions I'm still asking even after seeing the agreement. And as Jack Kane said, you can't trust the Iranians. That has been true for 50 plus years, right? Or 47 years. Remember, I failed math. You can't trust the Iranians. And unless there is, I agree with the president, peace by strength, right? You build up the army, you build up the military, hoping you never have to use the military. But if one slight thing in this deal is broken, then I think it's time for the talking to stop. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, pro, hey, let's go to war over everything. No, I'm not, hey, let's start new wars. Believe me, I'm very much against starting new wars. But if this is the deal, if this is the deal in place, and it's to protect America and America's allies, then one slight slip up on Iran's end of this deal, and I think the talking should be over. That's the way I look at it. What about you? 803-0930, star 930. Let's start in Amherst with Lewis. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right, man. How are you looking at this Iran deal?
Well, I have to look at it from a jaundiced point of view, and just for information, I have family in Israel right now that has come under direct rocket fire from the Iranians. And I'm not a young guy. I'm in my 70s, and it's something that we've been dealing with in my family for many, many decades as far as different Arab regimes. As far as the regime in Iran that you're dealing with, this is not a standard political regime. This is a theological regime. They believe in strictly religious law. They're Shia religious law. And there's no room for you or I under that. As far as them getting a nuclear weapon, not a chance in hell. And I'll tell you the truth. I think the only way they're going to stop it is regime change. They're going to have to take them out. They can't allow this type of group to run a country. We've already seen 47 years of it, and it's been a disaster. All they've done is funded terrorism. They've blown up innocent civilians worldwide. They wanted to start a war with us. Now that they got a taste of it, now they're saying, oh, poor me, poor me. Well, you know, you don't go up to the biggest guy on the beach and kick sand in their face and not expect a reaction. So as far as I'm concerned, the only way they're going to end this is it's going to have to be a regime change. And that could be accomplished by arming the populace. They could be airdropping weapons to them right now as we speak. And that would solve the situation. Just airdrop small arms, explosives, military-grade weapons, and you'll see the regime fall.
So how do you, but Lewis, how do you do that? I mean, do you arm the citizens? How do you get a successful regime change? And
you arm the citizens and you let them take care of business. You see how it goes. You find out who the strongest groups are. You make sure they're armed to the teeth and you turn them loose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not for being the world police, but I think you're right. I mean, unless there's regime change, America can never feel 100%, number one, safe from Iran, but you also can't, you cannot trust that Iran is not funding terrorism and actively seeking to make weapons.
Well, my question is this. What is to prevent the Iranians from finding a way to get a small tactical nuke into the United States? You know, they only have to be right once and we have to be wrong once, and detonating in the middle of a city, let's say like Buffalo. It doesn't have to be New York. What if let's say they did it inside Buffalo? How many thousands upon thousands of people would die, and what kind of a disaster would that cause?
Yeah.
It would be a sledgehammer blow to our world, our entire national economy. The fear alone would be astronomical. And the fact that they would have been able to get a weapon like that into the United States, I'd like to find out how they pulled that one off.
Yeah. But Lewis, I mean, you believe the same way. I mean, the memorandum of understanding, I mean, that only goes so far. Iran's not to be trusted.
To be honest with you, I understand why he did it. I do support Trump. I think he's a great president. But I think he's too busy trying to make deals with rational people when they're irrational. Yeah. These are not rational people you're dealing with. I've talked to people from Iran. And they are the type of people who will grab your family members off the street. You'll never see them again.
Yeah. Hey, Lewis, appreciate the call. Lewis in Amherst. Yes, it's a memorandum of understanding to kick off 60 days of negotiating. And again, I wish nothing but the best. I think there's a lot of stuff Trump's done that's been amazing. And I have mentioned all of those. I believe me, I am a supporter of the president. But I do think there are things that he might at times get wrong. Now, I'm not saying this is wrong yet. I'm just saying, looking into the future, in my opinion, this doesn't work out. Because, again, they're not to be trusted. Iranians, the regime is known to fund terrorism, is known to fund groups that hate us and our allies. And we know they want a weapon. They can say whatever they're going to say. We know they want a weapon. Now, J.D. Vance, who I also think is great, the Marco J.D. 2028 thing is going to be interesting to follow. I think J.D. Vance is such a great talker. And here is J.D. Vance talking about the agreement compared to the Obama deal.
Something I said earlier are, number one, the Gulf Coast Coalition loves this deal because they think that it makes Iran weaker. They hated the Obama deal because they thought that it made Iran stronger. They know more about this, and they have more to lose than anybody, including the United States of America, so I trust their judgment. The second thing is where the deal came from. You have to remember, in 2015, Iran had built a sophisticated nuclear weapons program with a nuclear weapons stockpile. So the perspective that we came at as the United States was, you already have a really nice nuclear program. We're going to bribe you with American money in order to stop it. Our perspective and where we're coming at it is, we already destroyed your nuclear program. And so if you promise and show verifiable pathways to not rebuild it, then we're willing to give you some sanctions relief and things like that. So it's a fundamentally different perspective. Now, there are all these substantive differences as well. The Obama nuclear deal allowed enrichment. Ours will not. The Obama deal allowed the accumulation of stockpiled weapons-grade material. Ours is actually leading to the destruction of that stockpile of enriched material. So there are many differences. The Obama deal gave them over $1 billion of American money. This deal gives them $0 of American money. So a lot of substantive differences, but I think the most important differences are where we're coming at it from a position of strength and the fact that our Gulf Coast partners love this deal.
Again, that was Vice President J.D. Vance. What are your thoughts? 803-0930, star 930, taking your calls after the news on WBEN. We'll get to your calls in just 1 second, but I know many of you out there want to know exactly what's happening at the opening of the Obama Center. And I've got some audio for you. This is about 17 seconds. Here's live from the Obama Presidential Library.
We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations.
So in like liberal sense, does that give you a pass? I mean, why don't you just give them, instead of building the library, they should have just given them the land back, right? But if you acknowledge it, that gives you a pass and then you can go forward. Is that how it works? 803-0930, star 930. The Iran deal, good, bad, indifferent. As I said, to me, it's underwhelming. Too early to tell if it's good or bad, right? I continue to say, as I said on day one, Iran cannot be trusted. This regime is not much different than the old regime. They cannot be trusted. And I that's what I believe. But I'd like to know what you think. We'll start in Tonawanda with Mark. By the way, thanks to everyone who held during the news. And we will get to you this segment, I promise. Mark in Tonawanda. Mark, thanks for hanging on.
Joe, how are you?
Doing all right, man. What are your thoughts on this deal?
Unfortunately, this is turning out to be another circus. Does anybody not realize what's going on? Iran is playing this exactly like I would. It's called eat up the clock. 60-day agreement here, very vague. Trump doesn't have a choice because, you know, the people, the government, whatever you call them in Iran, they're not stupid. They watch our TV shows. I watched one last night. Oh, the party in power usually loses, and we can't wait to get in there. We're going to handcuff Trump's hands. Don't they? That gets broadcast worldwide. It's a big stall tactic. It's like playing high-stakes poker, and it's just unbelievable. Now, this one's what, 60 days basically saying, okay, we're going to look at it, we're going to be good. It's garbage. They're going to get a nuclear weapon. They're going to run the clock, wait till the midterms. Hopefully the next president gets in. It'll be like Biden, half asleep all the time. Yep. And they'll have 4 years to do that. Then they'll cross their fingers. Gee, let's get another Biden in there. Then they have 8 years. All of a sudden, overnight, guess what? We're in the nuclear club. Like it or not, deal with it. So what you got to do, and here's the option. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan. There are some things, no matter how big your military is, you're just not going to control. So what you got to, you know what I tell them? You guys do whatever you want. You do something stupid, I got more nukes than you, and we're going to have a big firefight. Israel's already got nukes. I understand where Israel's coming from and that neighborhood over there. They already have them. So it's going to come to the point like North Korea and all the rest of them to have them. You guys want to play, then we're all going to play. And that's hopefully that deters everybody. But there's so many backroom deals. They got all the oil money. The only reason Iran's crumbling and they're panicking right now because they know they got time before the midterms and Trump's crazy enough to take over their money-making island, Karg Island. As soon as Trump said the power plants at Karg Island, wait a minute, we don't want that. That's where we get our money. We can pay off these scientists from other countries. Can't people see this game? You got politicians in this country. I watched last night. We can't wait. The party in power usually loses. Just wait till we get in there. We're going to not let Trump do anything. All Iran's doing is stalling. They're smart. They're playing like I would.
Yep,
they got 60 days now. Then what? You know the 60 days, something will happen. Well, we need another 30 days. We want to talk. And they're just going to eat the clock up. That's what's going on. Trump doesn't have a chance because he knows nobody in this country wants that. The only way you're going to do it is like the guy. You're not going to send 2 million troops to take that country over. That'll never happen, because the rest of them, that neighborhood's going to say, "Oh, here comes America. They're threatening us. They don't get what they want. They're taking the country over." So you have to really plan this with targeted assassinations. You have to have, and even that's not guaranteed. Look, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan.
Oh, I know.
And
I know.
It doesn't work.
I know, Mark.
Sometimes, yeah, go ahead.
I know. And, you know, Dan and Tonawanda texted in that he's hoping this is just to get to the midterms. But like you're saying, that's what Iran's hoping, get to the midterms. And then you get someone like George Conway, who's his whole commercial is about stopping Trump. And Iran feels like they have, Iran's rooting hard for the Democrats to take over the House and the Senate. So then Trump will be stopped. And that's why I think in Trump's part, I actually think this hurts him in the midterms more than helps him. I think if he had followed through and, oh, you don't want to sign the deal that we want. You don't want to, then we go in and we arm the citizens and we take over. I mean, that's.
But Joe, right now, as we speak, they are arming, building more drones. They're not stupid people. Their heads are as thick as a block of concrete. They got pride. You can drop bombs on them all day long. You know what they're learning with those bombs? I know what I'd be learning. Okay, that mountain got blown up. Well, that was one of their biggest ones. Guess what? I'm going to another mountain, and I'm digging it twice as deep where their bombs can't get. This is like one big circus. So it comes to the point, I understand what Trump's trying to do, but at the very least, I think Trump set it back a few years. But we all know in this country how backroom deals and money go. You go on an international stage, and you go to a country like North Korea, well, we'll give you, $100 billion. Make sure you bring this over in a food barge or a submarine or something. They're going to get a nuclear weapon. It's a matter of when they're going to do it. And all they need is that window.
Yep.
The window of a four-year president like Biden, who don't know where he's at, and then they hopefully cross their fingers and get another 4 years of a guy like Biden, and they got 8 years under their belt, and they just come someday and say,
"Yeah, Mark,
guys, everybody, we're in the club. Deal with it."
Yeah, no, I know. It's disappointing, man. I appreciate the call, Mark and Tonawanda. Let's go to Amherst, John. Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, John. What are your thoughts on this deal?
Well, I think Trump got the best he could do. People look at it like Afghanistan, but the real thing is Japan. 80 years ago, we took out Japan totally, completely. We got them surrendered, but we're still there today defending them because we took everything out. So I think that we got to let them breathe a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, we did more.
We
took more out in Japan than we took out in Iran. I mean, we pretty much dismantled Japan.
Yes, we did, and we still have bridges in Iran, but I think we got to give Iran a chance, but with a heavy stick, waiting to hammer down.
Yeah, John, I hope you're right. Like, I want this to work out. I hope that we have stopped the threat of Iran. I just, with all the talk and with all the action over the last few months, to me, this understanding, and we'll see what happens in 60 days. I kind of believe what Mark was saying, but we'll see what happens. Maybe we get more of a concrete deal in these next 60 days. It's just a little underwhelming, and I don't think it makes the Middle East any more stable today than it was yesterday.
I agree. It's not as stable, but I'm not sure what he could have done better. I really don't.
You're 100% correct, unless he wanted to go full-out war, and that's even more unpopular in America.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that point, John. I do think this was the best that could have been done, and I appreciate the call, John. I do believe this is the best that could have been done without full military, bomb. But again, there are some differences, and I will point that out. There are some differences, and I interviewed former Senator Jim Talent. You'll hear that interview on Sunday here on WBEM. There are some differences from the Obama deal. But like I said, I think for the time spent in Iran, this is a very, almost cursed on the air. This is a very weak deal. And I don't think it's a deal that will have lasting power. And again, I like Trump. I'm not, I have approved of a lot of stuff he has done as president. This I might turn out to be wrong. As I said, when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to the Middle East, I defer to David. But the way I'm looking at this a day later, it leaves a lot more questions than answers. And hopefully in 60 days, hopefully Mark's wrong. And in 60 days, we have a concrete deal. We have some more, we have more of a concrete deal than this understanding. I just don't trust that to happen with Iran. And, you know, I was in seventh grade on 9/11. I was in high school through the beginnings of the war on terror and just saw what that became, what that how that ended. And I know there's no appetite for a war in Iran, but I don't think you spend all that time and this is what you get. That's just the way I look at it. Again, I'm not claiming to be sophisticated on foreign policy. I'm just telling you how I'm looking at it. And when you know how you look at it, and I have a feeling that Pat is no fan of the deal as well. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, Joe, I'm not a fan of the deal, and I'm no expert, but I can read. And what's been printed, what's been presented to us, is Iran saying that they reaffirm the language that was in JPAC. So did we go just to get the Obama deal? Because that's what they said. We reaffirm. And that word doesn't, if they were to affirm it, that means it's all new. Reaffirm means this is old stuff that we're going to commit to again. Giving Oman and Iran management of the Strait of Hormuz, if they're good 90 or 60 days from now, we could release their sanctioned money, over $100 billion. 14 kids are dead for this. What did we get out of it? Nothing but the Obama deal. 14 kids are dead. Hundreds injured. What did we get?
Pat, let me ask you, and I'm assuming here, and I know it happens when you assume, but I'm assuming that you weren't for the conflict to begin with. So let's put that away and just say, okay, we're already over there. What would the best outcome have been to continue putting pressure on Iran? Again, let's say that they're already over there. You have no say. They're already over there. How would you have finished the conflict?
In for a penny, in for a pound. You know, you don't punch a guy once and say you won the fight,
right?
Because he's going to punch back. You got to finish it. And if, and I just don't think Trump had the appetite to finish this. It was crazy. If you watch his comments yesterday, he said, well, you know, when I said we were going to go to war, the stock market went down. But when I said peace, it went up. So was this a war for money to manipulate the markets? What was it? If we got the same deal back, and in this deal, this 60-day deal, doesn't mention anything about negotiating for the nuclear material. It says we're going to talk over the next 60 days, and both sides can extend it by mutual agreement. So what did we go there for?
Yeah, I mean, Pat, this is one of those instances where I can't push back, and you know, my one concern is. My one concern when it comes to the president is once you're over there, the midterms would be the furthest thing from my mind. It's how can we finish the deal and finish what we started? When it comes to making sure Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, I really couldn't care less about the midterms. It should be about finishing what you started in Iran. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and for them to have the language, he signed it yesterday saying that the U.S. will withdraw troops and equipment within proximity to Iran. What does that mean, proximity? I think Saudi Arabia would be proximate. Qatar would be proximate to it. So it's vague, to say the least. you know, he said we couldn't let them have ballistic missiles. Now he says, yes, well, we got to let them have it so they can defend themselves. Well, what are we doing here?
Pat, this is one of those times where it's not going to turn into a yelling match because I can't push back on you.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
One of those rare phone calls, Pat, but I do always appreciate your call. You know that. Pat on a cell, 803-0930, star 930. I mean, that's how I feel. You went in there to start something. Let's finish it. I don't care about the midterms, right? Really, it shouldn't be about can Republicans win the midterms. Yeah, I know. We've got crazy George Conway running for Congress. And I really think, yeah, I don't use that word loosely when talking about George Conway. I do think George Conway has a few screws loose. I mean, have you watched this video? This guy is obsessed. George Conway is obsessed with Donald Trump. But when we're talking, I think we can separate the two issues. We should focus on what's best for the long term of the United States of America. And once you're over there, you have to stop listening to the noise from the people who didn't want to be over there. This is me talking. But once you're over there, you have to stop listening to the noise from the people, from the Democrats who didn't want you to be over there, from the Republicans who voiced opposition. You're already over there. So now you're over there. In my opinion, you get the job done. You get the job done. What does that look like? I don't know. I think it looks better than this. Again, I hope I'm wrong. And it's very rare for me to take such a stance, against the president. But this is what, again, I'm thinking for myself. I don't think along party lines. I never have. I never will. To me, when I look at this, this is not what I imagine the end of this conflict to look like. Yes, I want peace. We all want peace. I want peace. I don't want war. No one wants war. I don't want people dying. But you went over there. You started the conflict. Again, I was not against. I was not against the conflict. If they're making nukes, we have to stop them. But I say you finish it, and there's not even a question of if Iran will ever make a nuke again. That's how I would have left Iran. But that's me. That's me. And I do believe this was the start. Batya Unger, she's on CNN a lot. She's a conservative strategist. She was on with Katie Pavlik last night. And I think she made a good point. Again, this is a conservative strategist, usually taking the Trump side on the Abby Phillips show. This is her with Katie Pavlik last night.
It's total capitulation. Everybody knows it. Every Republican defending this knows that if a Democrat had signed a document like this, they would be out there blasting them to kingdom come. President Trump had one job, and it was not to sign a deal that could credibly be said to be the equivalent of the JCPOA. And now he has signed a memorandum of understanding that is very clearly and obviously worse than the JCPOA. It has nothing in there about verification. It states, Katie, that they will not charge tolls on the Strait of Hormuz for 60 days, meaning it has occurred to the Iranian regime now for the first time that they can get away with doing that because we just showed them that they can bring the greatest superpower to ever exist on planet Earth to its knees with a few minds. This is just an utter disaster. Every word the president said today was a complete reversal of his own positions 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. He made Secretary of State Marco Rubio look like a fool because he made the argument you just made, Katie, that the ballistic missile program was a protective shield around the nuclear program.
Is he putting JD out there for a purpose other than trying to sell this to the American people? You wrote an interesting column about this week.
Yes, I wrote a Substack about this in which I argued that J.D. Vance is getting border czared, basically. You know, when Joe Biden realized that the open border was a problem, he handed the most important brief that he had no intention of solving to Kamala Harris, and it hung around her neck like an albatross and basically tanked her presidential run, among other reasons, of course. And it feels a little bit like J.D. Vance is being border czared. He was the only administration member
out there defending this all week long, not doing a wonderful job, I have to say, doing a lot of gaslighting, calling what turned out to be the actual MOU, Iranian propaganda, to our faces. Mm-hmm. and it just seemed like every time he opened his mouth, it got worse and worse and worse. The one defense I keep hearing from people on the right is, well, if they break the MOU, if they break the terms of this, we can go right back to bombing them. They are not going to break these terms. This is their wish list. They made out like bandits. And
again, it's Batya Unger Sargon. Again, a conservative analyst. But she's, I think, making some good points there. And again, you have to ask yourself, if a Democrat president came up with this MOU, how would you feel? And, you know, like I said, I was all for going over there and making sure that Iran never had a nuclear weapon, was not a threat to us or our allies. I don't feel like that is what was accomplished from this MOU. Hopefully the 60-day negotiations maybe make it more concrete and we can feel a little better. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Beamer, final segment here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The Iran deal, as I keep on saying, I hope I am wrong. I hope this is abided by. I hope that there's more concrete details in the next 60 days. I'm just underwhelmed. We went over there. Again, if you're against the conflict or not, we went over there. And yes, we all want peace. No one wants war. But is this what you were expecting when the conflict began a few months ago? 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on this? We'll go to Rich on a cell. Rich, thank you for your patience through the break.
Hey, no problemo. I think I'm going to take the opposite tact of all the disappointment. Number one, we got to keep in mind that the objectives when we went in there were military. They weren't political. We didn't want regime change. Maybe Israel wanted regime change. They're the ones that took out the leadership, not us. But our objectives were pretty clear and narrow, and they were limited in military scope. And we've not only achieved them, but we did so spectacularly. The Strait of Hormuz is a thing that the Iranians have held in their cards for a long time. And now it has brought them to the surface. And coupled with their indiscriminate attacking of their neighbors, who are supposed to be their friends, they share some ideological beliefs, etc., they've isolated themselves in a very dramatic fashion. And, you know, once you've achieved your military objectives and then get the Strait of Hormuz taken care of, you know, bear in mind, it took them 47 years to build that stockpile up. It's going to take them 20 now to rebuild it at least. So we can't forget all of those. And we've got the Strait now going to be opened up. We don't benefit from the Strait. The other countries benefit from the Strait. There is no reason why we should be the ones securing it for the rest of the world. If France or if England or another one of the NATO countries that is more reliant upon the energy coming through that water body wants to step up and do something, well, be our guests. And, you know, we did the hard part. Now you can go on in. All they got left are little speedboats with pea shooters on. So I think it's a very good thing. And again, the agreement that was signed was a memorandum of understanding. It is not a peace agreement. It is a framework for a peace agreement that will be hopefully achieved in the future. But, you know, the linchpin is, and I get your point, Joe, where you say, if a Democrat would have signed a paper like this, and this is non-binding, it's a memorandum of understanding, you would be rightly upset, not because of what's contained in there, as has been reported to you, but the fact that I don't know a Democrat who would actually stand up and deliver the consequences. There's carrots and there's sticks. And I think we all know darn well that President Trump, although he doesn't want to hurt people and have war, he doesn't shy away from the sword, and he'll drop the hammer on them if they step out of line. I think we're all pretty confident in his word on that, aren't we? So I think, you know, you let it unfold. Let's see what happens. You're going to have some carrots and incentivize the Iranians and more so their people to demonstrate to the people that we are behind them, even though their regime is not. And if by some miracle some prosperity starts to happen there, you know, dominoes could potentially fall in the right way. It's certainly going to fall a lot better than if you just bomb them into oblivion and turn the next 100 years of their lives into a living hell. We don't have anything against the people. It's the regime. So let's keep some things in perspective and see what happens.
Yeah, believe me, I hope this works out. And like you said, it's not a peace deal. It's a memorandum of understanding, and we'll see how those 60 days go. And Rich, as always, appreciate the call, man.
No problem, brother. Talk to you later.
That is Rich on a cell, 803-0930, *930. Obviously, I mean, time will tell. I know that's such a cliche saying, but time will tell. And yes, there was damage done. And you got to give Trump credit for that, even though CNN didn't want to. Damage was done. The labs were the place, you know, the places where the nukes were made were damaged. We set them back a few years. Again, they are just difficult to trust. And you know, that's if Trump's president, that's if Bush is president, that's if Obama's president, that's if Clinton's president. Iran is not. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. And we will see how this goes. J.D. Vance will be in Switzerland to sign this tomorrow. Obviously, we will talk about that tomorrow here on WBEN. Before we get out of here, I did have another story I wanted to get to. Now, there's a third thing. There's a, New York State is putting pressure on small business again, but I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow because I want to give that a full segment to talk about. But, you know, sometimes I feel people wait too long to give what they want. Does that make any sense? So in 2002, Austin Powers Goldmember came out. Great movie. Saw it in the theater. You know, it was the third in a very successful Austin Powers trilogy. Some of my favorite movies, okay? Which I kind of forget how much I like Austin Powers because I forget that it's, you know, I forget about it. Even though it is a great movie. All three of them, great movies. Anyway, and I remember in 2004 hearing the rumors that Austin Powers 4 was a go with Jennifer Lopez. And I was like, this is going to be a great movie. Austin Powers 4, J-Lo, is it Dr. Evil's son? Has he now taken over the Enterprise? Remember how Goldmember ended, right? Dr. Evil and Austin Powers were friends. I'm not sure I can say the other guy's name, Fat Blank. You know, he had gotten thin on the and everyone was friendly. And then Scott is looking to have taken over the Empire from Dr. Evil, okay? So that'd have been a very interesting movie in 2004. Now, 22 years later, Mike Myers says Austin Powers 4 is coming. I feel it's a little late. Now, obviously, I'll go watch it. I'll go to the theater and watch it. It's a little late. It's also just so interesting to me that nothing new sticks. I mean, look at the things people are looking forward to. Shrek 5, Toy Story 5. Toy Story 1 came out in 95. Toy Story 5, Shrek 5. People excited for Austin Powers 4. Like, some of the most popular movies are, you know, sequels of older movies. And then you just think about, you know, entertainment today compared to 2002 when Goldmember came out. I mean, there are just some jokes they are not going to make in these movies. I'm telling you right now. It's not network TV. They could make the jokes. I think this is one of those things. It's like when it's like every Mayweather fight that you wanted when Mayweather was in his prime that he then took when he got a little older. It's like, this would have been great 10, 15 years ago. This Austin Powers movie would have been great 20 years ago. It's a little late for me to get overly excited about Austin Powers 4. I wanted Austin Powers 4 when I was in high school. I think now you just let the trilogy sit the way it is. I mean, obviously, if there's a paycheck sitting there for you, you're not going to say no, right? I mean, you can't bash the guy for taking the paycheck. I just don't think the movie will be as good as the first three, and as good as the potential would have been if you had immediately followed, you know, Austin Powers, the first Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and Goldmember. If you had followed, you know, within a couple years, but man, 22 years for the fourth Austin Powers, I just think we waited a little too long. I don't know. I like the Iran deal. I hope I'm wrong. And Austin Powers 4 is a great addition to the movie series. We'll have to wait and see. And also this, Hawaiian Airlines. You ever flown on Hawaiian Airlines? I have not. But Hawaiian Airlines has announced that they will stop meal service for economy class. Well, this tells you how I've never been on Hawaiian Airlines. I don't remember having a meal on an airplane since 2004. To go back to 2004, the last time I remember having like a meal served to me, and it was nothing fancy. It was like a sandwich and chips and something. It was on a flight to Phoenix, Arizona. That's the last time I remember having a meal. Now, you know, you get either a half can of a Diet Coke or a cola. They fill the cup over the brim with ice, and they give you as little of the can as they can, unless you buy an adult beverage. But, you know, that's $10 for a 12-ounce beer. I'm a little too cheap for that. If someone else is paying, great. But they give you a little bit of soda or the bottle of water that's, you know, was opened on the last flight. And then they give you the driest food. You get a bag of pretzels or peanuts. And I love peanuts. Or trail mix. Or a Bischoff biscuit. They give you the driest food and a quarter can of a cola on top of a bunch of ice. Anyway, apparently Hawaiian Airlines was still giving meals on certain flights. Maybe I just haven't been on a long enough flight. I mean, I've flown to Vegas. Never had a meal on a flight to Vegas. I have given in and gotten an adult beverage on a flight to Vegas. But Hawaiian Airlines just announced that complimentary meal service has hit some turbulences, the New York Post says, as the company will no longer be offering a free meal. Those sitting in economy will be the ones hit hard. Travelers can still grab some grub. They just have to pay for it. Starting July 1st, we're transitioning away from complimentary sandwich in main cabin on domestic flights. And introducing, this is exciting, a pre-order menu with meals available for purchase. The switch applies to all domestic flights except for long-haul flights between Honolulu and JFK. Folks on that flight will still be able to get their free meal. Main cabin guests on our Honolulu-JFK route will continue to receive a complimentary meal. The move comes as Hawaiian steps up its onboard service with pre-order dining by popular Hawaiian chefs. The typical hot pocket sandwich will now be replaced with elevated meals. Flyers will now see aisle. Yeah, that's cool and everything. But, you know, I'm going to be upset if I didn't pre-order my meal. And, you know, I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the statement. And then the person next to me, I have to smell their food as they're eating it, as I'm waiting for my flight. Yeah, I didn't go to JFK. I'm going to Chicago from Honolulu. And I have to sit here with the pretzels and the half a can of cola. But, you know, I mean, I'm not old enough to remember the glory days of flying where people will talk about, oh, they carved the bird right next. That was not in my time, okay, where they would literally have a cart and cut off some meat for you and put it, you know, you had a five-course meal right there on your little serving tray. That was before my time. But I do remember you get on the plane, you know, if it's over, like, what, 3 hours, you get a sandwich or something. And that was everyone, not just first class, because I've only flown first class once in my life, and it was because I was delayed for a day, and Delta said, hey, we know this flight's only Richmond to Philadelphia. Would you like to fly first class? I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds nice for half of my flight. That'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, only time I ever flew first class, and now that's a very short flight, but I was like, yeah, what did I gain from being on first class on this very short flight? But you know, now, like I said, you get the half a can, you get the dry food. I remember when I was a kid, they give you the wings, right? You know, the American Airlines wings or whatever, US Air. You get the pilot wings, and I don't know. It just seemed like a lot more was included with that ticket. Now the ticket's gone up 300%, and I don't know. Most flights nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, it's too much turbulence up here. We will be suspending drink service. Oh, thanks. You know, that's happened more than once in the last 2 years for me. We'll be suspending drink service. And you don't get drink service to Washington on certain airlines. Like, to me, that's a long enough flight where you could get the cart. And I could have a drink and a snack. I don't know. Hey, at least all I ask is get me from A to B safely. But it is kind of disappointing. All these things that were kind of expected when you flew. The perks of flying. Now you just hope to get there within 3 hours of the time on your ticket. And you count that as a win. Anyway, that's the show for today. I want to thank Supervisor Gary Dixon for coming on, and I know we'll talk with Gary more. We'll talk with Pat Burke more as we get closer to their election in November. I want to thank you for all the calls and the texts. We'll be here tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock. I hope you will tune in. Join me then. Lots of stuff to get the weekend started. And you can use my show as the pregame, as Team USA will be playing right after my show at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Very awkward timing, right? You got a 9 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, and then a 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. But anyway, I like soccer once every 4 years because it's on all the time. So it's nice to look up and see. Anyway, thank you for the calls. Thank you for the texts. Thanks for all of you who reach out on social media. Really great hearing from you. Thank you to Tanner, as always. Tom Bowerly is up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.